Thank you so much, Hillary. Welcome to Monday. A lot on our plate today. We want to tell you first about our spotlight sponsor, makes this program possible, and that is Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock, Manhattan, 2,000 complaints of deed fraud, and almost every case involved a faulty notarization. This is so easy to steal somebody's home. It's crazy. Really, truly crazy. It's actually called an epidemic in Manhattan, and it is coming to a home near you, perhaps your home. Once the title is transferred to somebody who has just faked the notary, went down and filed the papers, they have your home, and they can take all the money out of your home. They can take loans out against it. It's really quite amazing. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. They're the only people that actually can protect your home from fraudsters taking it. HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Go there now. All right. Radio program. We begin a fresh week in about 4 seconds.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Helicopters were overhead, over the zebras and the owls and the pythons. Police cars roared down the crowded street full of smoke and chaos. Ambulance screams past the gates of the National Zoo in Sri Lanka. On the other side of the fence, a hotel full of tourists from all over the world, there just to celebrate Easter, but unable to. Trapped in the rubble, or blind with confusion, and deafening white ringing in their ears. What happened to the world yesterday? We begin there in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let me tell you about Blinds.com. Over 15 million windows have been covered now in America. 30 five-star customer reviews. Blinds.com, the number one online choice for custom window coverings.
Yeah, Blinds.com is really the best because you can make this whole process incredibly easy. I know we decided to do this a while ago with Blinds.com, and they completely transform the house. The blinds make a huge difference. It's the easiest way you can do this, I think, without, like, you know, adding an addition is one thing, but it's going to ruin your life for 6 months.
Yeah.
This is like
6 months.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is like, you know, you can get this done quickly, easily, and it changes the entire fabric of your home.
Free samples, free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Take 40% off the customer favorites now. Take an extra 5% off with promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com. 40% off, an extra 5% off your total order now with promo code BECK at Blinds.com. Helicopters overhead. Just on the other side of the fence of the National Zoo of Sri Lanka, a hotel full of tourists from all over the world just wanting to celebrate Easter. Just before 9 a.m. yesterday, an explosion shook the air. The church was packed with brightly dressed people on Easter Sunday. It wasn't just one church. It was church after church after church. Yesterday, a day of peace. A day where, if just the Christians would listen to the message of Christ, to love our enemies, to forgive, to not have hatred, the world would truly change. A day of peace, a day of hope, a day of the resurrection of the man, despite our darkest moments. The day marking his resurrection. It became a day of blood and ash and screaming and loss. 9 bombings yesterday. 207 people dead. 450 wounded. And they were all chosen specifically for their religious belief. Literally targeted at their church. Some people did something, all right. We've heard that phrase recently. We know it was a day where some people did something. Sri Lanka has been plagued by violence throughout its history, but it's been nearly a decade since the end of its civil war, and yesterday had nothing to do with Sri Lankan politics and everything to do with religious persecution. Christians specifically targeted. There's no doubt Christians, worshipers of Christ, believers in Christianity, Christians, not Easter worshipers. Easter worshipers seem to be the descriptor of the day yesterday. How's that for a coordinated response? They weren't Easter worshipers. We don't worship Easter. We worship a risen Lord. The Christus, Christ. That's what makes us Christians, not Easter worshipers. Christians face a new persecution, a growing persecution. In fact, it's the worst persecution since the days right after Christ. On Easter, Jesus performed a miracle by rising from the dead. But perhaps we're so close to being lost into nothingness that perhaps it will be another miracle if Christians even begin to stand up, let alone rise. It's time for Christians to recognize what's happening to their faith. Is faith in America dead? Can it rise again? Does even anyone really even know what it means to be a Christian? Is empathy dead in America? Will Christians begin to stand up in defense of their own faith? I'm not sure. But we have to. And we have to do it pretty darn soon. All right, let me tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor, if you're in constant pain, you are definitely not alone. I had a great day yesterday because of Relief Factor. Yesterday, went for a walk. Wasn't it beautiful? I don't know what it was like in the rest of the country, but boy, it was beautiful here in Dallas. Just a perfect day. We had Easter out on the back patio, and went for a walk afterwards. It was just wonderful yesterday. And took a long walk with the family. Tried to walk off my wife's Italian cooking, which was delicious. But anyway, Relief Factor. Go to relieffactor.com and you too can feel better. Get out of pain. Call 800-500-8384. This is a 100% natural, drug-free way to reduce the inflammation in your body. 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. It's relieffactor.com. We pause now for 10 seconds. Station ID. You know, I'm amazed at how we are viewing this Sri Lankan event yesterday. This bombing, this intentional Islamicist targeting of churches. I guarantee you that there will be more ink spent on Glenn Beck being a conspiracy theorist by saying, you know, I don't think this is, but if it's found out that it's Islamists that have set
Notre Dame
mm-hmm. on fire, you probably won't know about it because nobody will want to engage in that. And what would happen if Islamists actually burned down Notre Dame? They spent all last week saying what a conspiracy theory that was. No, that wasn't a conspiracy theory. ISIS has said Notre Dame is its number one target. ISIS has targeted that building twice. Now, they didn't do this. They didn't burn it down. But they even came out last week and still said they will not rebuild it. They're going to take that building out. So it's not a conspiracy theory. It is a collection of facts. And then you look at what's happening and you say, is this it or is this not it? As it turns out, as I said that day, this is not an Islamic terror operation. Now, we spent all that time last week on Notre Dame. And the only reason why they spent that time is because that building is iconic. It's the building. It's not what the building represents. It's the building.
It's basically a tourist attraction to them.
Correct. Correct. And a piece of history. Mm-hmm. It is, there is something more to that building. It is, you know, as Dennis Prager said in an article this week, it was an omen for Christianity in the West. Are you dead? Are you, I mean, it's burning itself down to the ground. Are you dead, Christians? Well, in Sri Lanka, it's not burning itself down to the ground. People actually have to risk their lives for what they believe in, and they did this weekend. And what was CNN's big angle? CNN's big angle was, did you notice that Donald Trump said that there were, what was it, 138 million dead? It was clearly a typo that was corrected immediately. What are you doing?
Everything must be about Donald Trump. Every story.
It's incredible.
I mean, how about this? You know, we spent weeks and weeks and weeks talking about the terrible shooting in New Zealand.
And the targeting mm-hmm. of Muslims.
Targeting of Muslims. Because, I mean, look at the hatred that's going on towards Muslims. And, of course, that was true in that case. And it deserved a lot of attention. It was a terrible incident. But this one is...
And very isolated in comparison to what's happening to Christians around the world.
I mean, it really is widespread around the world with Christians now. And that's not something that gets covered. This is an incident that is, you know... orders of magnitude larger.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a much bigger, you know, death toll here. Mm-hmm. We're talking about 500 people injured, almost 300 dead in these 9 bombings so far. And that will, of course, increase, I'm sure, as we go forward.
And let me ask you this, Stu. How ridiculous would it be for Christians today to say, we've got to take away people's bomb-making ability?
Yeah. Stunningly, that was that's already been done. You know,
yeah, I mean, but it's ridiculous to think that. Okay, so Sri Lanka, hard to get a gun in Sri Lanka, I imagine.
Oh yeah, you should see the process of it. And again, you know, they took away all the guns in, or they're taking away all the guns in New Zealand now. They've already passed all these laws to do so. You know, The New Zealand situation is nowhere close to Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, they got all the stuff that you could possibly want to ban guns, plus much, much, much more than has ever been presented here. And what happens? Well, now,
they just bombed churches.
6 times as many people are dead,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to do this. This is not even a largely funded, it's a relatively unknown Islamic extremist group that is allegedly responsible for this. And yet they were able to kill 300 people in a country where not only can you not make bombs legally, but you can't possess firearms. I mean, I was looking at the report of this. It's actually incredible what you have to do. So not only there's no Second Amendment right to firearms, which, of course, is only in really 2 or 3 countries in the world actually have something similar to the Second Amendment. And mm-hmm. they're all worse than ours as far as rights. But they don't do that, and they don't give you a license to buy firearms unless you can prove you it's absolutely necessary to possess one. So what's that process like? Again, like, there's not a ton of information. It's known to be very restrictive, but this is at least from, there's a Quora article about this of someone who lived there and worked in the department. You know, you, I don't know. I wouldn't base my legal rights on this particular article, but mm-hmm. it is a fascinating one. So you go and you have to send an application to request a license to possess a firearm. Then you submit that, and then you have to give them all sorts of information. Once you submit it, they will attach their recommendation or disapproval letter, and that will be sent along to the Ministry of Defense. Again, this is just to get a gun. The Ministry of Defense will consider your application and will almost certainly reject it unless you make absolutely strong arguments on why you should be able to bear a firearm. If the Ministry of Defense decides to issue a license to bear firearms, they will decide which kind of firearm suits your case. Now, I mean, what's the situation? You have a legitimate security threat. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're some big celebrity and you're mm-hmm. protecting a compound or something. They will sell to you. They will sell to you a model of firearm that they decide to sell you. You cannot buy firearms anywhere in Sri Lanka. How's that for restrictive? Once you get your arms on a firearm, you are not allowed to shoot it unless absolutely necessary. You have to report every single bullet shot by you.
Oh my gosh.
They also permit you to possess only a given number of bullets.
How do you get proficient in it?
You can only reobtain bullets. Reobtain is the word they use. From a licensed ammunition seller who is bound by law only to issue ammunition in an amount similar to the amount of cartridges or shells returned to them.
Oh my!
So
gosh.
You need to bring all your empty casings, shells, and bring them in and then say, here, I've got 45, and then you can buy 45. That's the process there. So they got a fever dream of like Bernie Sanders times Kamala Harris times Cory Booker as far as gun laws go. And then add in a dash of the Green Party and the Socialist Workers Party. Like the most restrictive you could ever imagine. And what happens? Six times as many people are dead in these attacks than the ones they were all saying were guns' fault last time. And again, because it's Christians instead of Muslims that are the victim here, and they were victims in both cases. But the attention will not be paid upon the victims here because it just doesn't.
Well, they were Easter worshipers.
Yeah. Yeah, I kept seeing that too.
They were Easter worshippers. Now look,
they're worshipping Easter? Yeah. They're worshipping the bunny? Well, are they doing exactly?
Sure. Isn't that amazing? Easter worshippers. Not Christians. And the reason why, we showed you this last week, in Europe itself, there were, and I'm going to just ballpark these numbers, but it's pretty close. There were 1,800 hate crimes that were filed in the EU last year. 1,800 hate crimes. Out of the 1,800, about 100 of them were against Islamists, okay, or Muslims. 200 or 300 were against Jews. The rest were Christians. The rest were Christians. It was like 1,364 acts of hate against Christians. Christians are under attack all over the world, and no one is talking about it, including our own churches. With what's happening in China alone is horrific. And I'm sorry to say, but it looks like the Pope is not helping the Christian churches, the Catholic churches in China. He is on the wrong side of what's happening with the Catholic churches and the Catholic parishioners in China. But Christians are being targeted in China. They're being targeted in Burma. They're being targeted in Africa, in Europe, in the Middle East, in Asia, all over the world. And no one is standing up for them. No one's standing up for our own faith. We are all sitting here. If you went to church yesterday, did you at all, have a feeling or a fleeting thought this is dying. This is all going away. Where is the church, the dynamic church that we had when I was growing up? Now, if you're lucky, you live in a place like we do where the churches are dynamic. But this is an oasis here. I mean, it is not like this in the rest of the country. If you are up north, tell me your church is as healthy as it was even 5 years ago. Tell me our faith. You know, I was sitting in church waiting for the service yesterday, and I was reading my scriptures, and I was overwhelmed by Luke 6. Tell me we're living this. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. So in other words, are we just doing this, loving our enemies and doing good to our enemies, lending them stuff, lending a helping hand and hoping for nothing in return? Are we even doing that part? For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. So in other words, we're supposed to do it because he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Be therefore merciful. Judge not, condemn not, forgive. Are we even doing this? How many of us were missing someone at the table for Easter because of politics? How many people on Easter had some ridiculous... I didn't understand the Civil War years ago. How many of us are having some ridiculous Civil War kind of thing where our family is split apart? Where you can't talk to each other at the table or at church? There's a reason Christianity is on the ropes. It's because we're not living it.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right, so the USCCA got such an overwhelming response with a free gun giveaway. They're extending this deadline a bit. They're giving 19 guns away. It's the United States Concealed Carry Association, the top provider of self-defense education and training and legal protection in the country. They love giving guns away to responsible Americans. That's why they are extending the offer for the 19 guns until Friday, April 26th. That is this coming Friday. Giving the guns away, all you have to do is just text Beck to 87222, Beck 87222. When you text Beck to that number, you are registered to win. I think you have 4 or 5 chances right now. They register for all your 19 chances to win. Just text the word Beck to 87222, B-E-C-K, to the number 87222, and get ready to win your brand new firearm from the USCCA.
We have more detail on the attacks in Sri Lanka coming up tonight on Glenn Beck TV. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn.
If you ask me, SimpliSafe is the only company doing home security right. Because the traditional companies have outdated systems and expensive long-term contracts. Or you have security gadgets that you need to monitor yourself. But SimpliSafe has the around-the-clock 24 professional monitoring and police dispatch covering every door and window in your home for $15 a month. Plus, you can install it yourself in less than an hour. Get 10% off your system right now at SimpliSafeBeck.com. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com. Well, luckily, he was not worshiping Easter in Sri Lanka yesterday, as so many Easter worshipers were.
No, I worshipped Easter here in the States.
Here in the
yesterday.
States, yeah. That's the way the news media is treating the Sri Lankan Christians. They were Easter worshippers. They weren't Christians. They were Easter worshippers.
There were some Passover enthusiasts as well over the weekend. I don't know if you noticed some of them.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some mosque supporters I noticed that were out and about on Friday, which was weird.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the program, Pat Gray. How are you?
I'm good.
So Dennis Prager wrote an article this weekend that said, was the fire of Notre Dame an omen to the Christian world? You're dying. You're being burnt down to the ground. Hmm. Where are you?
You could look at it that way. You really could. And we kind of are. The difference in the coverage between what happened in Sri Lanka and what happened in New Zealand has been absolutely amazing. Yeah. You just have to look at Hillary Clinton's tweets to see one of the not so subtle differences. Like when it happened, she tweeted out that she sent out condolences and her heart goes out to all Muslims. And then this weekend, it was her heart goes out to all faiths. Oh, well, okay. But the faith that was attacked was Christianity.
Well, Easter worshippers.
And yes, the Easter worshippers.
And I believe Easter opponents were the ones that actually conducted the attacks. Easter opponents.
No, see, I mean, here's the thing. You know, people of all faith should be upset by this.
They should.
However, it's not that, you know, you got to, wait a minute, what about us? It's not that. It's the fact that Christians are ignored.
Yeah.
And if we don't, if we don't stop ignoring what's happening, I mean, you know, first they came for the trade unionists, but I wasn't a trade unionist. Okay, first they came for the Christians, and you are a Christian, but you're not even standing up. I mean, think of that poem. Yeah. But I wasn't a trade unionist, so I said nothing. And by the time they got to me, there was no one left to defend me. Well, wait.
It's like, first they came for the Jews, and I was Jewish, and I was not interested in stopping them.
Like, right. Like, end of poem. End
That's
of
a
poem.
Terrible poem.
It's horrible.
Well, I was busy on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so
I didn't think it really related to me. I mean, it was those other Easter worshipers.
I did post some really nice recipes on Instagram, though.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that helped a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
I will say, Pat, I think you're with me on this. It's tough to take this from Glenn Beck. I mean, this is a guy who just last week listed among the possibility of a secondary outcome that potentially Muslims and their extremist elements could attack a church.
What?
It was a totally different church. They went to a totally different series of churches to attack them. And here's this buffoon on radio and television blabbing on about, hey, you know what? Here's a third possibility for the attacks that might be plausible, though I don't think it's likely that Muslims did this. And it wasn't until the next week in a different church where it occurred. What a buffoon. Oh, man. Oh, God. It's just tough to take.
When you look at it like that, it is. It's fun, isn't it? It's fun.
Yeah.
But it's surely. Well, look. I'm with Hillary Clinton. I my heart goes out to all faiths, including this one. This is a story from the Huffington Post. Hail Satan. Satanists.
That is. Oh. I would be surprised if it just stopped honestly.
The headline is Satan is having a moment. Satanists, it turns out, are everything you think they're not. Patriotic, charitable, ethical, equality-minded, dedicated to picking up litter with pitchforks on an Arizona highway. That much is clear in the fantastic new documentary, Hail Satan, which chronicles the rise of the Satanic Temple, a movement that has little to do with its titular religion, political activist coalition, and meta-cultural revolution. By reclaiming the pop imagery that has long frightened
iconography
has long frightened evangelical America. Devil worship, ritualistic sacrifice, horns, pentagrams, and the so-called Black Mass. The Satanic Temple aims to catch people's attention, then surprise them with messages of free speech and compassion and liberty and justice for all. No wonder so much membership has spiked since Donald Trump's election. This is a 10-page, 12-page story.
I've noticed they keep doing this.
On the moment that Satan is having right now.
And they seem to be, there's an effort now to make Satanism not about Satan. Have you noticed that? It's it's about something else.
Statement or something.
Chevy, you know, why would you, do you think Chevy's going to run an advertisement? Hey, some of our cars burst into flames.
Probably not.
No, they kind of de-emphasize the bolt.
Yeah.
Or the volt.
The volt.
They kind of, let's not concentrate on that. Hey, remember, we used to make the Pinto, and that blew up, too.
I was listening to a podcast on Friday. It's called The News and Why It Matters. And there's this guy on there who's, you know, blabbing on about some new poll that showed a decline in religion in the United States.
Some crackpot.
It was it was a crackpot, for sure. Mm-hmm. But he brought up an interesting point, which is over the from 1938 to 1998, this guy, Pat something or other, said the religious affiliation, or it was actually church membership is the technical term, ranged between 70 and 73% of the United States from 1938 to 1998. Since 1998, it's dropped from 70 to 50. That is a dramatic change in the fabric of our country.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, Europe has experienced even more dramatic change. And, you know, in some cases, it's like down to 4% attendance. So we're doing better than that. But this, that used to be our main calling card. Mm-hmm. That used to be what stood out about us. That we were great because we were good.
We don't live it.
Yeah.
We just don't live it. Why? I think people are like, why would I go to church? Seriously, why would I go to church? So I can be a hypocrite the rest of the week? I'm not going to live that. And the people who are going, generally speaking, and I don't mean this.
This is certainly how people see it, though.
Yeah, there is a lot of great people that go to church. A lot of great people. But, you know, some of us just aren't living it every day. And then what makes it worse, we're preaching at those people. Look at you. Well, you're a bad person. Excuse me? Dude, you're doing the same things. You're just going to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people see and feel. And there's nobody, when you go into churches, a lot of times, you're not hearing messages that relate to what's going on. I mean, our churches, think of the American Revolution. The American Revolution, the pulpits were on fire on teaching what your rights were. They're not now. Now, they weren't preaching vote this way or vote that way or do this or do that. They were just teaching biblical truths on what your rights are and what your responsibility is. Who's teaching that?
Not even schools anymore.
Of course not. And they're teaching the opposite. Mm-hmm. They are teaching social justice, which now means something entirely different than it did when the Catholics started this in the 1800s. It's totally, totally different. It was meant to reinforce at the time, as people got rich, what your duty is as an individual. Now it's not about individuals. It's about the collective, and it's about what the collective has to do to have collective salvation. That is absolutely anti-Christ preaching. I mean, we can get that reading the, you know, hey, Satan's a great guy. I mean, look at how, I mean, if you want to talk about living in biblical times, good will be made bad, bad will be made good. Huffington Post, Satan is having a moment, and it's good. Meanwhile, Christianity is bad. Now, I don't mind if you say, you know, Christianists, the people who are just, they just want everybody to live their way. Call them a Christianist. Okay, I don't like those people, but I kind of dig Jesus. Jesus is a pretty good guy. Jesus is a pretty good archetype for us to be looking at. Nobody's even talking about that.
I think the Doobie Brothers said it best when they said, Jesus is just all right with me. I think.
Can I tell you something?
They said a mouthful back then.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? Mm-hmm. That was part of the Jesus movement in the 70s. They swung so far to the hippies, but they didn't come back to the churches as they were. The churches changed and realized it's about Jesus. And there was a Jesus movement back in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. We need a Jesus movement. We don't need a revival of our churches. We need a Jesus movement. We need Jesus to be in our churches and affecting the people who are going to the churches, because he'll bring them out. Not another band. Not another, you know, fancy preacher. But what you're actually being taught, and you know what's crazy is that book, it hasn't been changed. I mean, we should all know it by now. It hasn't been changed in quite some time. How come we're not teaching it?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit on the News and Why It Matters on Friday, in that part of this is people who are who used to be religious, and that is changing to people who are agnostic or atheist. It's also the people who are still religious but are no longer members of the church. The way the poll is actually phrased is, are you a member of a church? And that has dropped as well. I think in the poll, 73% were of people who were religious were members of the church, and now that's down to 64%. It's not a huge change, but it is a change. And we kind of talked about this in that, like, I think part of that is churches a lot of times now seem to be a little too pragmatic. Like, they're kind of like, they're not taking on the controversial thing. They're not, I mean,
not asking anything of their parishioners.
Yeah. And I think like what I want out of a church, I think, is a place that's going to ground me in the principle, right? So no matter what it feels like I should do this week and the overwhelming pressure from the outside, it's like a place where I can shut all that off and say, wait a minute, back off. Look at the principle for a second. What's the actual teaching? Where are we supposed to go? And instead, we get this sort of like, well, look, we have to understand that X, Y, and Z needs to happen in certain cases.
Yeah.
Too often, I think, from churches, generally speaking.
And you know what it is? I think, Pat, is in Ephesians where, forgive me for all of the Southern listeners who are like, oh my gosh, he can't quote it. but I think it's in Ephesians where it says, you know, we are not fighting flesh and bone. We're not. Mm-hmm. We're fighting evil right now. And we all think that we're fighting flesh and bone. We think we're fighting Ocasio-Cortez or Donald Trump or whatever. We're not. We're not.
We're fighting what the Huffington Post is glorifying.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. And our churches aren't saying that. They're not saying, look, forget about the personalities. Forget about the parties. Here's good. Here's evil. Here's the difference. Here's how you can tell the difference, and it's all in the gospel. And you're acting like some of the bad guys, because look what it says we're supposed to do. And are we doing that? That's what our faith needs to teach. And I think that's why we're seeing such a drop in attendance. Thank you so much. Nice. Pat just broke the studio.
Pat broke the studio.
If we're still on the air, let me tell you about Norton Security. Norton Security is a company that we have trusted for a very long time for, you know, our computers and keeping everything safe. Well, Norton has just gotten into the VPN business. Now, this is really important because this is just an extension of what they've already done. Right now, you are under attack all the time, especially if you are using, you know, free wireless. If you're using somebody's Wi-Fi, even in your own home, you're under attack. Norton has a VPN, which is a virtual private network, and it's a way for you to not have cookies tracking you, not have people be able to sit in the coffee shop as you're on the free public Wi-Fi, tracking you, finding out all of your passwords and everything else. And Norton is the company you can trust. They do not track you at all. It's Norton.com/VPN. Norton.com/VPN. Price starts at about $3.33. You download an app. You put the passcode in one time, and then your devices are working on a virtual private network. It is Norton.com/VPN. Do it now. So we have Stu's review, which, believe me, there's no spoilers because he's never watched Game of Thrones. So he has no idea who the characters are, but we're having him review it every Monday. And so you get a very different look at the winter that is finally arrived last night. If you're a Game of Thrones, the war is didn't start, but it's finally ready to start.
Right. And I will not give you any spoilers because I don't understand anything that's going on.
Yeah.
I've never seen an episode before this season, the final season. I've never read anything about it. I've not been interested in it at all. I don't know any of the characters' names. I don't know any
of the actors. Doesn't know the comedic references.
No.
Nothing.
No idea.
So it's
happening.
A very good review. You're going to get that coming up next hour. A surprise in Ukraine. They just elected a comedian. We'll get to that next hour as well. All right, let me tell you a little bit about Relief Factor. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free, created by doctors. Four key ingredients. Don't know what they are. Don't honestly, don't care. Don't care. Makes me feel better. Could be aluminum cans all crushed up. I'm good. That's one of the ingredients. Makes me feel better. I'm good. Is that wrong? If you are somebody who actually cares about your health and stuff, yeah, whatever. You can get this drug-free, all 100% natural, three-week quick start for $19.95. It's $1 a day. It's a trial pack. 70% of the people who order the three-week quick start go on to order more. Do it now at relieffactor.com. Feel better. Relieffactor.com.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Politics is even crazier in the Ukraine. We'll tell you about that coming up in a second. And also, I want you to know there's no spoilers. If you missed Game of Thrones last night, there's no spoilers because reviewing it is Stu, who has only watched two episodes.
The last two.
The last two episodes. So he's got an interesting look at Game of Thrones, and he'll review last night's episode in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
For all of your biggest achievements in life, who is that one person who has always been there, unconditionally supporting you every step of the way? It's usually your mom. Your mom is your biggest fan. Your mom is the one that is absolutely irreplaceable. Now, Mother's Day is coming up, and 1-800-Flowers.com can help you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush. They'll give you an exclusive 36 for 36. 36 sorbet roses for $36. That's a dollar per rose. You're not getting that anyplace else. It is an impressive mix of pastel shades in pink and orange and lavender. The roses are guaranteed to make her smile. Now, you can order this for Mother's Day. May I suggest, also, if your mother worked as hard as my wife did yesterday on food, send your wife flowers and say thank you for Easter dinner because it was unbelievable. Was at least at my house. I don't know if you
leftovers come in today or what's the situation with that?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Prime rib. Oh. Sorry, Mr. Vegan. and really good lasagna. Anyway, 1-800-Flowers. They're picked at their peak, shipped overnight to ensure freshness. 36 roses for $36. An amazing offer. But hurry, the offer expires this Friday. To order the 36 for 36, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. You have to click on the radio icon and enter the promo code BECK. That'll take you to the page where this offer is. 1-800-Flowers.com, promo code BECK. This offer ends on Friday, so do it right now. 1-800-Flowers.com.
Okay. We have to... This is such a bad version of this.
It's dramatic.
It's like on a recorder.
You can feel the power of the series, I think, through this.
Yeah, can, can you? Mm-hmm. Now, you are not necessarily a fan, but you're not an anti-fan either. You're not against it.
No, I mean, I've heard really good things about it. And sometimes when you hear the hot series and you don't watch it, you know, you wind up catching up later and really get into it. I mean, that's happened to me. It happened to me with Breaking Bad. Like, I didn't watch Breaking Bad at the beginning. Wound up really loving that show.
Right.
So I maybe that's going to be the same thing here, though in Breaking Bad, I didn't try to jump in the last season
right.
and understand it with no context.
Right. And you are specifically asking for no help.
I want no help here. I'm not doing any internet research. I'm not going back and rewatching things intentionally because I don't. I want it to be a pure experience.
Can you stop this music?
No, it's great.
This is killing me. All right. So... Thank you. So, what is this, the club mix? All right, so Stu is here with your Game of Thrones update, the second episode in the season, final season of Game of Thrones.
I think there's some pretty big things that happened this week.
Really?
Yeah, first of all, biggest one, I think, there are seven kingdoms.
Yes, which there are seven kingdoms.
That's huge. I had no idea what the number...
That.
No, I did
okay.
not.
Okay, all right.
Somebody was pushed out of a tower. Okay, that happened in a flashback scene.
Okay, yes.
Okay? So I don't know what the context of that was or who the two people were, but someone was pushed out of a tower and fell dramatically.
Right.
Did not look good.
All right.
Then the open happens. The open animation is very, very long. It's incredible how long it is.
You know, it is amazing how animation, you know, like Seinfeld, a 30-minute show, it ran like a minute. You're like... You got 22. Now you've got 21. Shut up with the... And we sat through it.
Oh, the Cosby Show one was like... Yeah, it was like each character for like 40 seconds dancing in a different sweater.
I know. It was crazy. It's crazy when you go back and watch them. And now you see something like Game of Thrones, which is a little lengthy.
Yeah. And it's just a bunch of models, like really cheesy looking models of, I guess...
Well, that's new this season.
That's new.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I only saw the last part because I always hit skip intro.
Right. Because it kind of has you like swooping through these landscapes of really cheesy models. And it reminded me of the old Tales of the Crypt open, except there's no puppet skeleton that pops up at the end.
Right, okay.
Although, I don't... Spoiler alert, it could happen.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, okay.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to address, this one's annoying me for real, is that the Game of Thrones font that everyone keeps saying, oh, the Game of Thrones font, it's just a normal font with three lines vertically through the O's.
Okay,
that's
right.
The only difference.
All right. I don't think this is the kind of update people are looking for.
Okay,
but.
So, all right. Again, I will say, if you know these characters, there may be spoiler alerts in here because I'm describing things that I don't know which ones are important and which ones to skip. So if you haven't watched the episode and you're a big fan, you can read the update online afterwards.
I heard your episode. I heard your recap last week. I didn't even understand it.
Okay, good.
So.
Okay. All right. The Blondie Queen, she wants the guy in Beard's sister to send troops, which she is not doing. So that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And the bearded guy apparently is Angry Elf's brother. And
this is a big revelation for you last night.
Well, yes,
that the bearded guy might be the brother of the elf.
Yeah, that's a big development. And also the sister of the woman who's not sending troops, who I don't know who that is yet, but someone out there.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Now, they used to all be at war, right? Mm-hmm. And now they're not, but they still don't really like each other all that much. Then there's the matronly woman who kind of stands up and she vouches for beard guy. And she said she was sexually assaulted and that the beard guy defended her, which makes all of his previous murder attempts okay.
Is that the redheaded matronly woman?
No, I think she's blondish, and she kind of stood up to defend.
I must have missed that part, that wrong, but anyway, go ahead.
So then there's this Backstreet Boy in the wheelchair character,
yes,
which I found
not
very interesting.
Right.
He looks like a boy band member. He's in a wheelchair all the time.
Got it.
And he seems to just kind of stare pensively at people a lot.
Right.
That seems to be his role.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the frumpy girl And now the frumpy girl, she was in the last episode, and she likes swords a lot, and she hung out with the goatee guy. And I gotta say, the goatee guy I know is one of the main characters, but I lost him. I can't tell which one it was. So my last description of goatee guy, I don't remember now who that was. Like, I couldn't recreate who the same. I couldn't.
You can't tell the difference because they're
all. They all look the same. They're identical people.
Well, they're all.
Everyone in the entire series is identical.
Well, there's not a lot of razors or water. You know, there's not a lot of showering going on.
And everybody's wearing. Dark and cold and dirty.
And everybody's wearing black. It's like being in Manhattan. Everybody's just wearing black. That's they true. All kind of look the same, and they're miserable.
Yes. Okay, so then the frumpy girl, she can throw knives very accurately,
yes.
And she wants some sort of weapon made for her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to this bright red tree,
yeah.
And at the bright red tree
is the
Backstreet Boy in the wheelchair, and he's out there, and it just seems completely implausible that he could wheel himself on this wheelchair through all of this snow and terrain to get to this location.
Right, it's not like there's a sidewalk with curbs anywhere near.
Exactly. It would be very difficult.
Right.
And I hope
there's
that's
no handicapable access to any part in.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. I really am hoping that in future episodes they have like a flashback to how he got there.
Right.
How did he traverse the rocks and the snow?
Hysterical.
I just want to see that.
Him stuck with his wheels in the mud and the snow. Can somebody help me out here?
It would be incredibly challenging.
Great. Yes.
Okay. So
a lot of upper body strength is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's something. See, this is where we're getting a review. You're not going to get anyplace else. Nobody is talking about the, what do you call him? The wheelchair?
Backstreet Boy in the wheelchair.
Backstreet, yeah. And his upper body strength.
So. Right. No one's covered that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're at this tree,
mm-hmm.
And the bearded guy, who I learn apparently was the person who actually pushed the Backstreet Boy, who was not in a wheelchair, out of the window.
Yes.
And I think that may have caused the wheelchair situation.
Yes.
Okay.
Again, not a spoiler unless you're on season one.
Oh, that's been that long?
It's been that long.
All right, so angry elf, mm-hmm. And his brother, the beard guy,
mm-hmm.
They seem to think that their sister was trash, and they sort of love her anyway. Okay, they mm-hmm. had a conversation about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this guy who looks like kind of like Ricky Gervais and Lenny from Laverne and Shirley. He visits the Queen Blondie lady.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I think
Laverne
so.
And
was
Shirley.
He?
Remember Lenny? And then you remember, you know, Ricky Gervais. If they look, we have all sorts of alternative lifestyles that are
thinner. Is he thinner than Ricky Gervais?
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
I think I know who you're talking
about. I can't place that person.
Not.
But they visit Queen Blondie, and they used to not like each other, but now they do, which is the relationship dynamic of every person on the show.
You're not helping me out with that.
Every conversation is the same conversation,
yeah.
Which is, hey, I know you used to try to kill me all the time, but we're friends now. Like, that's that interaction happens all the time. All right.
It was a much more complex life back then.
It was.
We have social media that we mm-hmm. now have to navigate, but they were just trying to kill each other, and you never knew, like, are you my friend now, or is this a plot to kill me?
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine the tweets going back and forth between Queen Blondie and Beard Guy if that was around back then? That would have been incredible. Okay, so I will say this. I noticed this was kind of a big revelation for me during this particular episode, that the blonde queen, her eyebrows are remarkably dark for her hair color.
Again, I don't
right?
think
like,
this
that
has...
was noticeable.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Is that a thing? Do
well,
people talk about that a lot?
No.
That's a...
No, they don't. She was out in the sun a lot.
Okay.
She's more of a... She's one that is up in Winterfell saying now... I mean, I can't take this. It's always gray. It's always dark. It's always cold. This mm-hmm. is not me.
Right.
She's more of a sun worshiper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can see that.
Yeah.
Now, here's another one. And this is if you've only joined, you know, now, this may be a spoiler alert, but the blonde queen lady, she's in love with John, which I think might be Jon Snow.
Not a spoiler. That's not a spoiler.
Okay,
no.
Is it Jon Snow?
It is
okay,
Jon right. Snow. Right. That's the goatee guy?
I may
no,
yes.
no, no.
Maybe? It was definitely a guy with a beard, but again, that does not narrow it down at all.
This was the guy that you were trying to place last week.
Right, yes.
And you said, I don't know who he
is. They were doing the dragon thing. They were flying on dragons and stuff.
Yes. That's him.
Okay.
And you got it?
That's Jon Snow.
That's Jon Snow.
That's a big character, I feel like, in this thing. That's,
it is.
I want people to know that they should watch for him to do stuff, because I think he's going to be one of these active characters in the show.
Yes, he's the one of the central characters. Yes.
Okay. There's some conflict between Blondie and a redhead about a throne in the north. Okay. Watch for that in developing episodes.
Okay, got it.
The redhead is hugging someone, and I don't know who it is because everyone looks the same, but they were she was hugging someone.
Okay.
A little kid wants to join the war and eat soup. The soup did not look good.
Right. Not a big plot point.
Then there's a big moment where the someone is here alarm sounds.
Yes.
They have like a Simply Safe system.
Yes.
Like when someone approaches, and like you...
Right.
Okay. And then the red hair burly guy comes in, and he was a big character throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm.
He has there's a beard guy there, another beard guy, and an eye patch guy there, and they were all together. Whoever is coming now, this is something that people might not understand if they're only coming into season 8, episode 2, and didn't see season 8, episode 1. But something or someone is coming.
Winter is coming.
It's just winter.
Well, that was the first line of the series. Was winter is coming, and now winter is finally here.
It's been, I mean, all, the entire, I will, I
this has
can't
been,
tell if you're making an analogy, because like, it has been cold the entire time.
Yes, no, it's an analogy.
And the name of the place is also Winterfell, which I learned last episode.
Right, good, good, good.
But somebody, I feel like an army or a monster or an attacker of some sort is coming.
Yes.
Okay. And
look
so
at you, you're trying so hard.
I am. And they're coming before the sun comes up. So it's like tomorrow, like within the next few hours. Okay. So the army is unbeatable except for one weak point.
May I ask you a question? How do you know that they're coming? If I just told you winter is coming, which is an analogy, when they said they're coming before sunup.
It could be another analogy.
It could be another analogy.
Right.
How do you know what the analogy is and what the actual time is?
Well, again, all this is contextual. So I feel like they were drinking. They were saying, we're not going to live to the next day. They were not a confident force, I will say. This was...
I would say that was accurate, yeah.
This was like a 1-8 matchup in the NBA playoffs.
Right,
They just did not seem confident. They did, however, have the possibility of knocking out this army because of one weak point. Mm-hmm. Like the Death Star. They have a Death Star possibility, it seemed like.
Yes.
If they could just bomb or put like...
Yeah, lob know, that like thingy. He used to when you were gopher hunting back on the
Tatooine,
other planet.
Right. Yes. So it was like that. If they could do that, they can wipe all of them out at the same time, which is, again, like every army in every series seems to do this. It's like, don't put one weak point. That's all you have to do is not do the one weak point thing, and you win all the time.
Well, but you don't necessarily know that one weak point until it's too late. But
that's
somehow
true.
Your enemy does. But
they almost do.
You never
sense
see it.
Let's see. Someone killed a White Walker. I don't know what a White Walker is, but they were very proud of that.
All right.
The brother of the angry elf was sleeping with his sister. So the brother of the angry elf was sleeping with his sister, which I think means it's also angry elf's sister.
Yeah, good for you. Yes.
This is.
Yes.
I mean, this is not something you should be watching. I'm just disappointed in you.
Right. You're right on that.
There was a bunch of sexual stuff that went on. The frumpy girl got naked and she looked a lot less frumpy.
Okay.
When she got out of her clothing.
I
noticed that. There was the scary opposing army. Okay. That they finally, I guess this is the group that's coming.
Yes.
And they are there and they're in the visual connection to the actual castle.
Winterfell.
Which is a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think... Tell me if I'm wrong. Again, spoiler alert. There's a big revelation. Beard guy, I think, is someone named Sir Jaime of Lannister.
Sir Jaime Lannister is beard guy. Not a revelation. So not a spoiler again. But it was a big...
It was a big reveal
It was a big reveal to you.
They
said
his name and everything.
Yes, and there it is. The update.
I mean,
the show is a little better than that, but a thorough look at last night's episode with
courtesy
Stu.
HBO.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, realestateagentsitrust.com. Housing market is on fire. Somebody came to me yesterday and said, Glenn, my husband and I are, we sit down at church and they're like, hey, happy Easter. Lord is risen. Hey, listen, my husband and I are thinking about selling our house. And I'm like, do it. Well, I mean, we don't know. Do it. Right now, interest rates are falling. People are buying homes. Now is the time. Things are going. Winter is coming. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. They will introduce you to the best agent in your area. We've done our homework. We've built a network of the most successful, hardest working, like-minded agents, and they are eager to help you with your biggest investment. They are agents with a huge and long track record of performance. They are experts in your area. They will do business like you do because they share your values. You're looking to buy or sell. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Get the right person the first time. Realestateagentsitrust.com. 10 seconds, station ID. Very, very good, Stu.
Thank
very
you.
Good. Yes.
I thought I nailed something.
Yeah.
At some point, do I actually begin to understand what's happening, do you think? Because I mean, I get a general sense that there's the good guys maybe fighting a bad guys that are coming. And
yeah,
outside of that, I have no concept of what's occurring.
No, I don't think you. I mean, you get a better handle on who's who, but I don't think you get the context. Last night, I thought it was kind of almost like a... Empire Strikes Back. You know how Empire Strikes Back?
It's the best one. It's the best one of the entire series.
Well, okay, then it's not Empire Strikes Back. Empire Strikes Back was kind of just the build-up to, you know, it's the middle.
There's a little, yeah, you're saying setup almost.
Yeah, it's okay. A lot of setup for the, you know, for the close, or what used to be the close. And so there's just a lot of setup there. And so last night was just kind of like the tying in of all of the people that you've seen over the 7 years all coming together, who are all like, tonight's the night, huh? Yeah, we're all dead tomorrow.
That was almost every conversation.
Yeah. Well, because it's been coming for 7 years. The one review I read on this today was, it said, finally, Game of Thrones pays off. The war is coming. But it didn't. The war is still coming. It didn't start last
night.
It's just you can see the armies together now, and you're like, oh, maybe in the next 3 episodes we'll start to see a war. I mean, literally, it's the craziest thing. Literally, the opening line is winter is coming, which is talking about this war. So for 7 years they have been building to this season.
I mean,
it's
people
crazy.
Love the show, but that is not a sell for it. Like, you
No. But it is, because the characters are so good.
Yeah,
all of the characters are so good. You're seeing.
You can tell it's really well done. I mean,
really
it's
well done,
well acted,
really
and,
well done.
You know, but
it's quality of Braveheart every single week.
But I don't think it's a good idea for them to just put on this season 8 with no previous seasons. They shouldn't do it like
no,
that.
No,
they should. They should
there,
have.
There are the. You can go back and watch them, and I recommend after this season,
right?
You go and you know, maybe give that a whirl. Give that a whirl. It's kind of a unique idea in radio and television to watch the other seasons before you review this season, but we thought we'd try
You're
something different.
To Glenn Beck.
Cybercrime getting worse. Almost every day we hear about, you know, massive data breaches. There was another one, 150 gigabytes of just plain text marketing data, including 763 million unique email addresses. Now, here's the thing. These things are kind of, it's like a chop shop where they'll take and they'll chop these things up, and they have all these email addresses on the dark web, and then somebody else will have your social security number, and somebody else will have your banking, you know, information. and they put it all together, and that's when you really have problems. So good chunks of your data are already out there, guaranteed. When they put them all together is when you're in trouble, and that could happen at any time. LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck, LifeLock.com. You'll save 10% right now. You'll get 10% off your first year. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but LifeLock is the best, and if something happens, they work to fix it. It's LifeLock.com, promo code Beck, or 1-800-LIFELOCK.
Tune in tonight at 5 p.m. Eastern for Glenn TV. BlazeTV.com/Glenn is the place to go. You get $10 off when you use the promo code Glenn.
So you want to talk about how America has, you know, we don't share things anymore. Part of that is because of the breakdown of media, and in a good way. I mean, we're in the golden era of television right now. Have you heard or seen a show called Killing Eve?
I have not.
It is really, really good. Really good.
Eve.
Yeah.
I never even heard. Again, like, that's what's amazing about this is there's these, every once in a while I stumble upon a series that almost was specifically designed for me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, how did I not know about this? It did 5 seasons and it ended in 2012.
I know.
And
you're on TV and you're like, no idea. I Love Lucy. When I Love Lucy was out, it had a 92 share, which meant that about 70% of the American population was watching I Love Lucy. And you had to watch it live. So imagine, I remember this, you know, in the days of MASH and even Seinfeld and Friends, where you would talk the next day, and up until really TiVo, you would say, no, don't tell me.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember going on the air the next day, and you'd have that, you'd spoil, like, you'd try to talk about it without talking about the shows, and this is, again, like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, but in the early 90s, you just talked about it. You just talked about it. In the 80s, you just talked about it.
Right, because it was the only way you were ever going to see it, unless you saw the rerun 6 months later. Maybe.
Yeah, just, everybody watched it live. So now nobody, I mean, here, Game of Thrones had a 17.4, is that a share or is that the rating? 17.4 million Americans watched it. That's what it is, an actual number. 17.4 million Americans watched it, which is what? 5%?
5% of the population.
5% of the population.
Yeah, roughly.
70% of the population was watching I Love Lucy. 70.
And Game of Thrones is everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, and yet, how many people have never seen a single episode? Couldn't tell you anything about it.
Me. I mean, until the last couple weeks.
Yeah. It's crazy how fragmented we really are. And how we are united on the thing that we're most divided about, politics. We are more united on politics, but we disagree with each other, than I think anything else now. Isn't that sad? I want to give you a scenario. Imagine for a second the United States economy had collapsed and a coup has occurred, and then China invades California and they annex the entire Western seaboard. Now imagine, you know, in the absence of a George Washington resurrection, we elect Conan O'Brien. So we've got Conan O'Brien as president of the United States, and we've knowingly elected him to get us out of this mess. And during the chaos, O'Brien, you know, breaks out, you know, Triumph the Insult comic dog and and goes viral on insulting the post-coup government. And then he's like, you know what, I'm going to run for president myself, because any clown can do it. And then we elect him president of the United States. That is exactly what happened in Ukraine this weekend. In Ukraine, it can't be Voldemort. If it is, they should worry, because he might turn himself into a giant snake. Zelensky, he declared victory last night. He stood on a stage in his campaign headquarters just after the polls closed. the theme song that was playing, you know, behind him was not like, you know, he didn't have to sue anybody for, you know, born in the USA, Bruce Springsteen says Trump can't use it. You don't have to worry about any of that because it was his theme song for his comic late night show, for his comedy show. It would be like Johnny Carson as your victory song. Okay. His opponent, the previous Ukrainian president, had already conceded defeat before the results even started coming in.
It was a blowout. I mean,
blowout. He trounced everybody. 73% of the vote. That's the amount of people that were watching I Love Lucy. And we just said how crazy that is. 73% of the vote went to a late night comedian. He is now the president of Ukraine.
And he played the president on TV, right?
Yes.
And that people just were like, I mean, he seems to be funny in that scenario. Maybe he'll be funny in real life as the president, too.
So the Russians are literally at the gates. They are at the throats of Ukraine. They've already annexed Crimea. The Russian-backed separatists have seized nearly all of eastern Ukraine. The media rarely even talks about it, but there's been an ongoing war in Ukraine ever since 2014. 13,000 Ukrainians have died. The economy has collapsed. It is an absolute shambles. And they have a comedian. Now, common sense would seem to dictate, you know, maybe somebody who knows what they're doing would be really good. But Ukraine has chosen a late night comedian. How did this happen? Well, I will tell you. This isn't some crazy Eastern, you know, phenomena here. We elected a game show television host. I mean, Donald Trump was more than that, but they say that's one of the reasons why he won is because everyone knew him and they saw him as successful in their living rooms. Now Ukraine has taken this and they've put a comedian in. Do you remember when the world had a problem with Ronald Reagan being an actor? Now, why is this happening? Because everyone, not just in America, but in the entire Western world, they are sick of the lies. They're tired of the broken promises, the general feeling of being ignored, talked down to, pandered to. People in this country, Donald Trump was elected because people were tired of being ignored and lied over and over again, lied to about immigration, the economy, jobs. I mean, when you, I contend again that the wall is not about Mexico. Build the wall is about Washington, D.C. People are so sick of Washington, D.C. and their broken promises that they don't trust anybody to go in and actually fix the broken border system. And so they're like, you know what? Build a damn wall, because the next guy, once you build it, it'll be up. And that's exactly why they won't build a wall, because you can't reverse the wall. And that's what Americans want. Stop it. Stop playing games with my life and my livelihood. Stop it. You guys don't really even care. Look what's happening in France. The French elected an empty suit, and now their streets look like a war zone every Saturday and Sunday. Why? Because people are sick of it. Look at Brexit. Look at Germany. The old way is busted. Change on a scale we have never seen before is coming. Winter is coming. Every time you hear somebody say, oh, that guy could never become president. Really? A late night comedian just became president of Ukraine. Every time you mock somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, remember, the comedian from the Ukraine. It's a new era. The old ways of doing things are gone. It's what truly scares people like Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. They know this doesn't work. And quite honestly, it should terrify all of us just a little bit. What's crazier? You remember when Iceland collapsed? Do you remember how they put together their new constitution? They had people tweet us your ideas. Tweet us your ideas? That's the way you're writing a new constitution? Tweet us your ideas? We had 54 men come together, some of the greatest brains of the millennia. They worked on that constitution for a very long time. They didn't have people just tweet their ideas.
It's mostly WhatsApp, or how did that work?
I don't know. Hmm. Here is something crazier than tweet us your ideas. Here's a guy who's good at mocking the system. And the Russians are at our gates. And we know 70 years ago, they slaughtered most of our parents and grandparents. They just slaughtered the whole country. They're at the gates again. Hey, we think the guy who can help us is a guy who's at least honest. I mean, he's a comedian, but at least he's honest. And that media is exactly why Donald Trump won. Because you may not like what he says, you may not agree with what he says, but he says it because that's what he's thinking. X chair, really, really comfortable chair. A chair that you could sit in all day, in fact, made for that. We spend more time in our office chairs than we do in our beds at night. X chair is made to fit your body and has all kinds of adjustments. It's more like a recliner than an office chair. It really is that comfortable. I want you to see it and try it for yourself. Go to xchairbeck.com, xchairbeck.com. You will see how different the X chair really is. The X basic model, $100 off right now, or as low as $28 a month with 0% financing. You can order today. You also get a free footrest if you use this special address. It is xchairbeck.com. That's the letter X, chairbeck.com. Or call 844-4X-CHAIR. 1-844-4X-CHAIR. You know, if you look at the front runners now, I think you have to put Pete Buttigieg in a front runner category.
His polling, I mean, the latest polling is really positive for him. One poll has him at, with Biden in the race, has him at 17%, with Holy Biden cow. At 21 and Sanders at 20. So, I mean, and then
that's
without...
That's crazy. That is
insane.
That is the comedian in Ukraine, or Donald Trump. That is, I don't know, I listen to the guy, I feel like he's telling me the truth.
And they don't care anymore about his experience. Again, the guy's a mayor from South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah. The guy in the Ukraine. This is so crazy. People didn't even... He didn't really even have a campaign plan.
Yeah. I mean, if a comedian here ran, like Penn Jillette ran for president, magician, TV host, really funny, known for swearing a lot, but very smart, very mature ideology, incredibly well-read, incredibly smart
guy. You know what you were getting.
You knew what you were getting.
And even with Donald Trump, you may not have known because he had no record, but he at least said, these are the things I'm going to do.
Right? Like, I'm going to be tough on the border, etc. Apparently, this guy in Ukraine has not said any of those things. He has no developed plan at all. The only thing he said is that he wants to end the war with Russia, but he's going to, quote, try to figure out a way to do it. He doesn't even know
like
what the way
change.
Is. Yeah.
That's hope and change. And remember, we were saying, what does that mean?
Mm. Yeah. And he's oddly avoiding the media. I thought this was pretty interesting because you'd think a guy, like if, you know, Penn Jillette or Jon Stewart or somebody ran for president, they'd be all over every channel every day doing interviews. That would be the strong point of your candidacy.
Right.
He's avoiding it. In fact, he was doing, to give away, who, you know, the one interview he would do, he made the journalists play ping pong against each other in a ping pong tournament. And whoever won the ping pong tournament got to get an interview with him. I swear this is an actual true story.
That is, I mean, I'm telling you, that's where millennials are.
They want to have ping pong tournaments for journalists and news?
No, they just, see, where Donald Trump and people our age coming out and we're angry at the press. They just think the press is such a joke. Yeah, make them play ping pong against each other. And then that person can. There's no standard. There's nothing. You're jokes. So make them go play ping pong. It's actually, you keep going in that direction, and it's kind of scary because they become not even they're not even worth contempt. You know what I mean? They're just jokes. And that's where millennials are. They don't get angry about it. They're just like, this is ridiculous. This whole system is ridiculous. Why should I even care? Yeah, make them play ping pong. That's funny.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the idea is it just can't get any worse than what we have.
Oh,
I think
can.
A lot of people say that here. A lot of people say that there. You know, Hindenburg probably sucked. What came next was worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it can get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, I don't think there's any problem.
Lenin.
Yeah.
Couldn't get worse than Lenin,
right?
Stalin.
There's no problem, I think. I think it's America's a great country to elect someone who has no previous political experience. It's very central to who we are, I think, in some ways. But, you know, you should at least know what the person stands for.
I don't know. I mean, I would go for Jim Gaffigan. I'd like to draft Jim Gaffigan. If Jim Gaffigan, because, you know, look, he's going to be like, I don't know, I think we should all just go, you know, you want a Twinkie? I'm not going to do anything to hurt Twinkies. You know what I mean?
There'd be a lot of food-related speeches.
There'd be a lot of food-related
State of the
speeches,
Union would be...
and it would be good. It would be good. And I could see a ton of people voting Jim Gaffigan.
Even though having no idea what he stands for. Just because he's funny and it seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially if he was doing it as a joke. Can you imagine how many people would vote for Jim Gaffigan? I want to tell you a little bit about real estate agents I trust. When is the official start of spring? Do you know? I mean, I always feel like it's Easter. But this is when people are starting now to think.
It's already in there, I think.
Yeah, we're in spring, and now it's time to sell your house or buy a new one. Now is the time to do it. You need a great real estate agent. You need somebody who really knows what they're doing. We have been working for the last, I don't know, almost 10 years now with 500 of the best real estate agents in the country, according to the Wall Street Journal. And their ideas help formulate this company that is really a matchmaking service. We go out and we find the best real estate agent in your area, and then we match you with them. They'll help you sell your house on time for the most amount of money, or help you find that right new house. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com. Oh my God.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Believe it or not, it has been 20 years since Columbine. Now, doesn't it seem longer than that? When I said believe it or not, it seems so much longer than that. 20 years ago, the Columbine shooting happened. The 20th anniversary, thank God, was on a weekend, and it was Saturday. We have the first student that was shot in the library. He survived. He was also the last person to talk to the killers. We have him and his perspective in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Ronald Reagan said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction." Think of that. From extinction. "We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." Have we done our job as parents? We are looking at a different world in a very short period of time. if things don't go exactly right, we could be looking at a nation that is no longer free, does not have the free market system in it. Bernie Sanders is serious about what he wants to do, and so are a lot of others who are socialists. What have you done to protect your family? What have you done to protect yourself against the next big downturn? Goldline has been there to help me, my family, and friends of mine to be able to have something of value in the next great downturn. I want you to call them and read their important risk information at 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. I know these operators. I've met them several times. They're really, really great people. And they actually say, we know when it's a Glenn Beck listener, because your listeners are always so polite and so kind and so nice. We actually fight over them. And I'm like, well, that kind of defeats the purpose there, doesn't it? But they really respect you. They'll give you all the information. You go back, you do your own homework, and figure out if gold or silver is right for you. It is for my family. See how easy it is to own gold or silver at 866-GOLDLINE. That's 1-866-GOLDLINE. Read their important risk information, find out, and then act on it. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. This Saturday, a guy named Evan Todd was a student at Columbine High School. He was the first shot in the library. He incurred shotgun wounds in the face, in the neck, and in the back. He was able to remain clear enough to convince them not to finish him off. He's on the phone with us today. Evan, welcome.
Good morning, Glenn. Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. First of all, how was this weekend for you?
This weekend was a roller coaster, but it was really encouraging because I saw a lot of old classmates. We went to the school and gathered, and it was encouraging to see how far people have come and in the path and road to recovery.
Yeah. So tell me about that day first, about those guys coming in. I prefer not to use their names and give them any more glory, but those guys coming in and shooting you, and you're the first. What happened?
Yeah, the shooting started outside and was, confusing at first, but as the shots got closer, we knew what was going on, and most everyone had made their way under a desk or hiding behind bookshelves, and I was behind a pillar trying to decide whether I was going to hide or run, and I kept looking around the pillar, and that's when one of the murderers saw me, and he lowered his shotgun and fired, and that's when I was hit on the lower left side of my back, and then he fired a couple more shots, went over my head, and that's when I got the shrapnel blown back into my face.
And you talked to them? You spoke to them?
Yeah, after they had come into the library and basically everything that had happened in the library happened, they came back around to where I was at. And one of them kneeled down and put a gun to my head and he asked, why should we kill you? And I told him, look, I've been good to you and everyone in this school and you know it. And something happened in that moment. His facial expression changed. He lowered his gun. He started to stand up, and he turned to the other one and said, you can kill him if you want. They debated back and forth and talked for a minute and then decided to let me go, and they left the library at that time.
I mean, there's so much to take apart and unpack there, but it was your character that saved your life. You had been kind to them?
You know, I knew them by... I recognized their face. I was a football player, and they worked on the Rebel News Network, which is our, little news team inside the school. And so I had a feeling that they knew who I was just from the reports. But something about that moment struck the chord, and they ended up letting me go. So I believe that they did know who I was, and I had never done anything to them. And that was true as well.
So how badly injured were you?
You know, I was definitely one of the lucky ones. I went to the local ER close to the school. I was out by the end of the day, and I was backpacking 3 months later and playing football the following fall. So I was definitely very fortunate and blessed.
But you didn't stay in the library. You had your chance to live and either stay there and remain safe, but you didn't. You actually went and saved the lives of others.
Yeah, when they left the library, there was an exit to the outside where a bunch of students ran out. And when we got outside, there were even more students that were hiding behind police cars and little outbuildings, sheds, and people who were bleeding out. And I had been trained in first aid through the Boy Scouts. And, you know, some of the simple things of getting people into the sun and keeping them warm, plugging wounds, the most basic first aid definitely helped keep students alive. And, you know, everyone that made it to a doctor ER survived that day. And that's just a testament to our medical system. You know, if we got them to help, they lived.
How did you know to put them in the sun and do those things?
It was definitely from the first aid training. You know, keep someone warm, keep them conscious. We were talking to them.
Where did you get the training?
Telling them. Through the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
Yeah, the first aid merit badge was where I first got it.
You were actually awarded the National Honor Medal, were you not?
Honor Medal, yeah. I was, yeah. Yeah, and I was not the only one. There were four other scouts at Columbine that day that received awards that for helping other students in first aid. And one of the students who actually kept Dave Sanders alive and well for several hours after he incurred his injuries in the science room, and he received an award as well.
So, Evan, I'm obviously a lot older than you are, and I remember that day, and I remember thinking, what the hell is happening to our country? I had never seen anything like this. Those look like the good old days. Now with everything that we see in the news, I just read with a Huffington Post, Satan is having a moment, and it was a story about how Satanists aren't so bad. And I'm like, everything is flipped upside down. As you look at the world today, what's happening to us? And is there anything that you pull from Columbine that gives you extra insight?
Yeah, you know, I think some of the stuff that led up to Columbine was just the permissive sense that we had that, you know, things are okay. They're going through a phase. You know, who cares if they're, you know, these two, they worshiped Hitler and death and destruction, and that was okay.
Did you know that before? Did you know that before they came in with guns?
No, I mean, they're the way that they dressed and some of the patches and things, that you knew that they had different views on the different things. But, you know, I didn't know anything really about them before everything happened. Everything I've learned about them has been from their writings and videos and things that they made before.
Yeah.
Talking to Evan Todd, he's in After Columbine is the show done by PureFlix TV. You can see it at aftercolumbine.tv for free. You're a survivor, Evan, and I have to say, when I was seeing that the 20th anniversary was coming up of Columbine, and I saw that it fell on a Saturday, I just said, thank God. Like, God only knows what would have happened if that was during a school day somewhere in this country. And I'm wondering, are you surprised by the sort of dark interest that still seems to find so many people, so many lost souls that are looking for some meaning in replicating this event?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to that. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who are searching for meaning, and they're finding it obviously in the wrong places, and it's misplaced. And I think that is a failure that we have in society is not filling that void. But I think it's also the fact that people are looking for infamy and they're looking for a way to, and I think it's because we haven't found ways to actually stop these from happening. It gives people encouragement that they may be the next, you know, big name. And I think if we can solve that problem, these will start to diminish and go away as well.
Because there is no difference between fame and infamy anymore. Fame is just fame.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if what you did to become famous.
That's true, and it's sad.
Evan, you mentioned making sure these things don't happen again. Certainly, there's a big portion of this country that would bring up the idea that we have not done enough to stop guns and the way people can get their hands on them. What are your feelings about those arguments? I mean, is that something you think about?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, and just to, I mean, back when Columbine happened, I had the same access to guns, in fact, more than the two that tried to murder me and my classmates. So access is, it's in the heart. And then on the side of protecting our schools, it's something that has come a long way. There are some fabulous school districts out there who are physically protecting, defending their schools with firearms. And that's something I stand behind. It's, when this happens, we need somebody on campus that can physically stop it from going on and saving lives. And so I work with teachers, even here in Colorado, to get them trained and so that they can carry concealed on school campus.
There's a three-part series, again, made by Pure Flix, and you can find it at aftercolumbine.tv. Part one of the series focuses on faith. Part two focuses on forgiveness, and part three focuses on hope. If we as a nation just did those three things, focus on faith, forgiveness, and hope, we'd be a different country, and we'd be much, much happier. Evan, thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
You bet. Simply Safe. I've known these guys for a very, very long time. They have they've just put a really cool doorbell in where you can, if somebody's ringing your doorbell, have you seen this yet? Simply Safe, you ring the doorbell with Simply Safe and it alerts your phone and you say, oh yeah, hang on, just a second. So you can answer it anywhere.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and you answer the phone, and then if you want to, you can give them the code. You can shut off the alarm system and then give them the code for the, or you do the code yourself remotely, open up the doors, just leave the package right inside, close the door, you watch them close the door, leave, you reset the lock, and you reset the alarm. It's amazing.
That's incredible.
Amazing. Yeah. Anyway, Simply Safe. They are really, really great, and they have 24/7 monitoring. You, like I said, you can watch your own home, you know, on the phone, but also they have 24/7 professional monitoring and police dispatch. It's only $15 a month. That is a fraction of what you're going to be charged, and there's no wiring that you have to do. Everything is wireless. Go to simplysafebeck.com and try it now. Simplysafebeck.com. Order your system at that address and you're going to save 10%. It's simplysafebeck.com. We break now for 10 seconds, station ID. I was doing a lot of homework. We have a special coming up. First special tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. It's a special episode of the Glenn Beck television program. That is our election report.
Socialist Spotlight, Glenn. It's like
is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're calling it off the air. The Socialist Spotlight.
Yeah. It's just a look at each Democratic nominee. We did Joe Biden last.
Joe Biden got 2 weeks.
Yeah, he did. There was a lot there to say about Joe Biden. He was the last one. This time it's Kamala Harris, is it not?
Yeah, and the first thing we're going to do is tell everyone it's Kamala.
Kamala.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not Kamala. I want to say Kamala every single time.
Okay.
It's Kamala.
Kamala.
Kamala Harris. Yes, we're going to do a little profile on Kamala. She remains kind of
an amazing story.
Yeah,
of Kamala.
Her background is really interesting and bizarre. We're going to get into that. And it's interesting in that this is a big week. Obviously, everyone knows and will always know. Like, you know, December 7th, 1941. Everyone remembers the date lived in infamy. Mm-hmm. This will be remembered as Seth Moulton Day.
Ah.
Because today was the day.
The annals of time.
Yeah. People will look back and say, what were you doing on Seth Moulton Day?
Mm.
And what you were doing is whatever you're doing right now, because he announced to run for president today, and you're thinking to yourself, who's Seth Moulton?
Isn't that what chickens do when they lose their feathers or something?
Run for president?
No, about Seth Moulton.
Oh, Seth Moulton. Like, yeah, they do Seth Moulton themselves.
Yes, okay.
And people, when they light themselves on fire, also a Seth Moulton.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm pretty sure. But Seth Moulton is going. He's going to be surely elected president of the United States, but this is still at the beginning stages. He's a congressman from Massachusetts. Not seen to be a legitimate threat for the nomination. But then again, I will say people were like, a mayor from South Bend, Indiana. And now it's only one poll, but he has one poll where he has hit 17% in a poll that includes Biden.
If I had to make a prediction, he's going to be the nominee.
I mean, it's very early.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the problem with Buttigieg.
I get them wrong. I'm endorsing him. Yes. I'm endorsing him.
You've endorsed all 19 candidates.
I'm endorsing,
just to ruin their lives.
Yeah, just because if I endorse somebody, they are guaranteed to lose. So I endorse Pete Buttigieg.
So we have categories we've broken these guys into, and ladies. From front runners to, yeah, they got a shot, to, I mean, maybe if everything goes right. And then there's, probably not. And then, no. Okay. We put Seth Moulton in the, no category. However, he is running. I started Pete Buttigieg, controversially, by the way, in the, I mean, maybe if everything goes right category. And because the only reason I did that, I even put him there, was because of the odd affection shown to him by Barack Obama and people close to Barack Obama. People, he has this level of like, here's our new up-and-comer sort of choice. Mm-hmm. And that's why I even put him in that category, which is the third kind of category. We've already moved him up to, yeah, they've got a shot. And we may go all the way up to frontrunner soon. The issue here is the initial category name, which is, I mean, maybe if everything goes right, is where we put Buttigieg. The thing is, everything's gone right so far.
Yeah.
But these 19 people, or 18 others, and then 19, assuming on Wednesday when Joe Biden gets into the race, the 19 other candidates are not just going to hand this guy the nomination. They're going to eventually start saying critical things about him. So far, no one has said anything critical about him. And so it's easy to rise in the polls when that happens.
May I?
I mean, look, people like Herman Cain did that. Look, Fred Thompson did that.
Bernie Sanders is currently leading because Bernie Sanders is so damn crazy. And he says who he is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's leading because he's not really a politician.
Yeah. I mean, he's not even really a Democrat. Right?
He's not really even. He may be an alien. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. I don't have an explanation for other than she's kind of likable. She seems kind of relatable. She's a black woman, you know, diversity, blah, 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 blah. Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Bob Frank O'Rourke, Julian Castro, Kirsten Gillibrand, okay? Just take those of the leaders. You put Pete Buttigieg in there. While he's a politician, he's unlike any of the others. Remember, Donald Trump was unlike anyone else ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now Pete Buttigieg is different than everyone else running.
Why is he different than everyone else? What do you think?
Because he doesn't seem like a slick politician at this point. He seems like a guy who is the average Democrat who, you know, I'm for big welfare state. I'm for these things. I'm for health care. You know, but I don't hate Christians. I don't hate everybody. I just want to get along with everybody. And I'm tired of all these insiders in Washington because they're just full of crap. And this guy seems like he's not full of crap. He's just the guy at the other end of the bar stool, you know, at the bar and sitting on the stool just saying things that people say. Like, yeah, so what? I'm gay and I don't, that doesn't mean I have to hate Chick-fil-A. I think he has some of the same qualities that people were looking for with Donald Trump.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Just on the other side. All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about CarShield. If your car does not have a warranty, boy, do you need one. The cars are not like they used to be. You know, you used to be able to go down to, you know, Pep Boys and grab a part and be able to fix it. You and your dad, or, you know, or not me, anybody but me. But now it's $1,000 for a sensor, You open up hoods today and you're not going to fix that thing. CarShield makes the process of fixing your car for a covered repair really easy. You can have your favorite mechanic do it. The dealership doesn't matter, and you're not waiting for a check. They pay the mechanic or the shop directly. So you don't have to worry about it at all. This is insurance that you need. I mean, it's it's extended coverage. And I'm telling you, your car goes down. Do you have $500 to fix it? Don't deal with that. Don't deal with that. Go to carshield.com. Use the promo code Beck. You'll save 10%. Carshield.com. Do yourself a favor. Use promo code Beck.
Tonight we look at the attacks all over the world. It's not just Sri Lanka on Christians. You need to see that show. Kamala Harris, the socialist spotlight is tomorrow on Glenn Beck TV.
You know, there's not a lot of place in public where you can talk about redemption. You can talk about what Easter was really all about. And that is, you know, the Messiah coming and laying down his life for us and showing us that there is a path back to sanity, back to redemption, a way to start all over. You know, I have lots of atheist friends, and you know, we'll talk from time to time about this, and I'll say, you know, what difference does it make? And my friends who are atheists are not like this. They're not the, you know, radical atheists. They're just the ones who just don't happen to believe themselves. And it does, to me, in some ways, it doesn't matter. This is very, I think, probably Jordan Peterson, where redemption is so important for the human psyche that even if it was all made up, and I don't believe it was, I do believe in the resurrection and I do believe in the afterlife. But even if it was, it is so effective at making people, giving people the ability to start all over again and coming to terms with what they've done and putting it into place, that it's critical. It's critical. And we're not fully exercising it ourselves. I don't know how much critical thinking we're even doing on ourselves anymore. You know, you get up in the morning and you check your phone. You've now put your phone in charge of your thoughts for the day. If that's the first thing you do in the morning, you're not taking charge. You're not thinking, what am I going to do today? What do I have to do? What am I thinking about? Instead, you look at the phone and you're responding. We're all becoming responders. We're not independent actors. We're just responding to the world. That doesn't go well. It just doesn't go well. A guy who is so famous for Duck Dynasty, Phil Robertson, he came in and we did the podcast for Saturday. I thought there's nobody better than Phil Robertson for Easter, for an Easter message, because this guy needed redemption. This guy was a hard living. Did you know his past, Stu, before the podcast?
I knew about what you just said, that he had a hard living life.
Right.
But nothing more than that.
No idea about how hard he was. Here's a little clip from the podcast on Saturday, Phil Robertson.
Now, we live in a culture now, it seems like they're mad, and I haven't even spoken yet.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even voiced an opinion yet.
Mm-hmm.
but they seem angry. They seem mad. And I'm like, I'm listening to them, and they're constantly ranting. And mm-hmm. you're looking at them, and you're like, so I've come to a conclusion that if you ever get in the state of mind, Romans 1:28 says, because they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. They're not getting any knowledge of God in the school system. They're certainly not getting any knowledge of God in the news media for the most part. You're like, they're certainly not getting it out of government. Every once in a while, a little lip service, you know, God help us. But you say, it's not coming out of Hollywood. You say, well, where would they get a consciousness of God? If none of the school system, if none of them are taught that, you're like, my goodness, since they don't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gives them over to a depraved mind. You're talking to depraved people who are mad. They're mad because they have a problem. It's sin, but they don't know what their problem is.
It's a fascinating conversation, especially coming from a guy who started where he started. Here he is on Miss K, his wife, and fame. Listen.
She waited me out, Miss K, when I finally came to Jesus. She said, finally. Now, my boys would say things like, does that mean daddy's not with the devil anymore? She said, that's what it means. He's done with that. She said, y'all going to have a lot better daddy now. And then we all took off and we looked up one day. I've told people this before, Beck. Yes, I ended up rich and famous, and yes, you can do it without a cell phone or a computer. You can pull it off. I don't know how many have pulled it off without any use of a cell phone or computer, but I was able to pull it off. But all the money that came our way can't remove my sin.
Yeah.
And no matter how famous I even think I am, you say, can it raise you from the dead, Phil? I'm like, not even close. So I have to be careful to keep everything in perspective here. There is a God in heaven, and I am here to serve him. Thank you for blessing me. I don't care too much about the fame. It's a pretty good hassle. But, Lord, I'll serve you faithfully. Just help me serve you.
That's Phil Robertson, the podcast, a very frank conversation. When he goes in to talk about who he was and where he came from, I had no idea. I had no idea when, you know, Miss K said, does that mean daddy's not with the devil anymore? Yeah, it really, in that case, it really kind of did. And by the way, the other thing I just of note on this, there's only one other person that calls me Beck. He never called me Glenn, and Bill O'Reilly never calls me Glenn. Phil Robertson and Bill O'Reilly have that in common. Beck. They're the only two that have ever done that.
You should see what I call you.
No, I know that, but you're in the majority. You're in the majority on that. All right, let me tell you about Relief Factor. If you are in constant pain, you are not alone, and I know it because I was in constant pain for a long time. In America, it is estimated that over 50 million people miss work due to pain. These Americans spend over $2,000 a year to combat their pain. 66% of us believe you're going to live the rest of your life in pain. Don't live that way. Don't live that way another day. Please just try Relief Factor. It's something that Tanya made me try, and I am so grateful I listen to my wife occasionally. Relief Factor. I should listen to her more. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 or go to ReliefFactor.com. Welcome to the program. I don't know if you've seen, there's headlines going around. Donald Trump hits lowest ever. 37% likability. Well, that's one poll. He's anywhere between 37 and 47. Lowest poll, 37. Highest poll, 47. He's somewhere in the probably 42% range, if we were going to be honest and fair about it. That's not a great number, but that is a that's a number that I think pretty much aren't all the presidents now lately been in the 50s, low 50s, high 40s?
Yeah, I mean, Obama was, you know, he was he had a pretty bad approval rating, honestly, for most of his presidency. He was in the 40s a lot. I mean, you know, George W. Bush went from very wide range from like 27% to 92% approval rating, which is quite a range for 8 years.
But I just want to juxtapose this because you're just never getting perspective, ever getting perspective. AOC, she's the darling of the left.
Mm-hmm.
Her approval rating, Donald Trump's lowest approval rating is 37. He's about 42. But his lowest is 37, and he's a pariah. AOC has an approval rating of 31%. Now, that's up from February's number of 26% approval.
And sometimes you can have one of these situations where you have a figure, they have 26% approval, but you have to give the context. Maybe people don't know who she is, right? Maybe it's 26 to 10, mm-hmm. and everyone else is unfamiliar. Not the case with Ocasio-Cortez. This is a woman who 1 year ago was a waitress at a bar, and now 70% of the nation has come up with an opinion on her. I mean, that is an incredible... And really, let's be honest about it. No one knew who she was until election night.
Yeah.
Okay? We are in April, so it's now, what, you know, 5 months later? And 70% of the population has come up with an opinion on her. She is 31% favorable, 41% unfavorable, and minus 10... on the net favorability ranking.
If you look at this, do remember, she's the face of the Democratic Party. Okay, well, she's a little more popular. She's what, plus 41 with Democrats?
She's a plus 41 with Democrats. Now, Kamala Harris mm-hmm. is a plus 50 among Democrats. Elizabeth Warren is a plus 41. Donald Trump among Republicans is a plus 50.
So, I mean, look at that. Look at that. She's got anywhere between a 26 and a 31. Let's give her 30. That she's at a 30% approval rating. You can't do anything with 30% approval rating. You can't.
She's moving the entire party, seemingly.
I know.
It's interesting to see that battle.
But it shows she's somewhat likable. She's just...
I do not find her likable at all. I have to say it.
I found her likable at the beginning, and then she just became strident, and I don't find her likable anymore.
I mean, there are certain people, certain Democrats I do find likable. Mm-hmm. Ocasio-Cortez is not one of them. I mean, she's just, she find her incredibly grating.
Did you see the video of the 8-year-old? Play this. This is an 8-year-old who looks just like Ocasio-Cortez, just a mini me, but... If you listen to what she's saying, she may be the speechwriter for Ocasio-Cortez.
Like, I'm Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a.k.a. AOC. And, like, I want to talk about, like, climate change. Because, like, there's no doubt cow farts are making the climate change. Like, in July, the climate was 96 degrees. And in February, the climate was 36 degrees. OMG, like, that's a huge change in the climate in only 4 months. Like, at this rate, the world is gonna end in exactly 12 years. And, like, I'm only 29 years old now, so the world will be over when I'm only 37 years old. Like, I also want to talk about socialism, because socialism is so amazing. Like, socialism is actually short for social media. Did you know that? Like, I use social media, so I'm a socialist. And, like, three of the most successful countries in the world are socialists, too. Venezuela, Facebook, and Twitter are all very successful socialist countries. I have a lot of friends who moved to America from Facebook.
I mean, that sounds like a parody. First of all, obviously, you can understand the joke there that mm-hmm. she's the little kid is much smarter than mm-hmm. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Mm-hmm. But we used to do this all the time on Moron Trivia. We would call people all over the country and ask them, what is socialism? And overwhelmingly, the response was, it was social media or being social with others.
Yeah.
And that is, not fixed calls. I honestly thought some people would get it and some people would butcher the explanation.
I
was shocked at how similar the definition was from so many people who thought it was related to like Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Socialism.
It's being social. It's socializing with people.
Yeah.
It's being kind to people is as deep as you
deep
could
as
ever
you
go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being kind to people. No, that's not what it is.
Socialism is not sharing. People like to make it out to be sharing. It's not
sharing. Is sharing.
Sharing is caring. But sharing is...
Sharing is sharing and also charity. And we are all for sharing and charity.
An incredibly important part of sharing is the willing participation by the person losing their stuff.
Because it changes their heart.
Yeah, that's a real big part of it. And just the fact that someone just takes it out of your paycheck. I mean, we've been seeing all these stories about taxes where people don't know that they got tax cuts because their withholdings is more accurate this year than it was last year.
President should do this. The president should change. I don't know why. Can't he do that?
It would have to be a legislation of some sort, I'd imagine.
Oh, my gosh. It would be so good
I think
if
what
you
you're
had
referring
to,
pay, to is, yeah, paying a check.
Pay it by check every... You could do it every 2 weeks, but you have to write the check. It can even be calculated, you know, for you. It'll say on your pay stub, this is how much you pay. And then you have to pay it. The reason why they won't do it is because a lot of people will be like, I'm not paying that.
Yeah, they would get a revolt immediately. And they wouldn't get the money they want.
Correct.
Also, people don't really write checks anymore. That would be another complication.
Yeah, it's okay. But
you have to do the auto pay. You have mm-hmm. to go into bill pay and you have to type the number in and send it. And it'd be the same exact amount of money. But I guarantee there'd be a much different reaction. People just, and they have successfully, withholding has successfully implemented the idea, the progressive idea, that it's their money that they're letting you have some of.
The only time you ever hear anybody talk about it is when they first get a job.
Mm-hmm. And they look at that check.
And they look at that check. And they're like, wait a minute. What?
Oh, yeah.
That's the only time. You'll see it with, like, you know, football players who give a big mm-hmm. check or whatever. But nobody else talks about it because we all go numb inside.
Yeah, the NFL draft is this week, and I remember hearing a story of a guy, an offensive lineman, who said, you know, I all the guys I knew in college, they were all Democrats till that first paycheck, and they all turned into Republicans.
Yep. Welcome to it.
That's the way it works.
All right. More tonight at 5 o'clock on what happened in Sri Lanka. We'll give you that. 5 o'clock only on the Blaze TV. BlazeTV.Glenn. I'm sorry, .com/Glenn. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Promo code Glenn. You'll save 10%.
And while we're here, Thursday, the NFL draft. Glenn, who do you think is going first and what are the reasons?
I think Kamala Harris.
No, I mean the football.
What? Joe Biden?